Now boarding for Rebuild of Joycast, your weekly destination for anime, manga, and more.
Welcome back. Feeling a little bit of deja vu right now because Val and I actually started this episode already, and then we had some issues. We had a layover on the train. The train had to reschedule, so...
Yeah.
the train had a little bit of scheduled maintenance, and now it's starting back up. So, sorry for this very, like, quick, ham-fisted opening. So Val and I are talking about, to start, the summer 2022 anime season. The first set of episodes came out, because not everything has come out yet.
No.
And the most notable thing to us, the one we really want to talk about, is Gundam, The Witch from Mercury. So this is funny. So I skimmed the first two episodes, and within like 2 minutes, I text Val and go, Val, did you watch this? Like, this seems like everything you fucking hate. Everything that you lied about in regards to the Licorice Recoil has happened here. Everything you said you did not like about Licorice Recoil is actually on full face. It's right here in this.
Yeah, but I dislike the girls even more.
Because this is actually bad. Licorice Recoil, I mean, Yuri bait all you want. You gotta be entertaining. And Licorice Recoil is entertaining. This here is just boring.
Yeah, I didn't even get...
What a tough act to follow. Sorry, Sunrise. You make great productions, but then Licorice Recoil just slapped your ass before you even got out the gate.
I didn't even get a cool mecha fight in episode one, really. Like, she used funnels, and that's it. For those of you who don't know what funnels are in Gundam, funnels are basically these overpowered, like, deployable...
Yeah, she shot her load right at the very beginning!
Right, exactly. It's basically these super powerful, deployable, psychic-powered, like, guns that you can position with your mind and just destroy anything. Like, one of the things that they, like, premiered in was Char's counterattack, which I recently
watched. Let's fucking dial it back here. Here's the quick premise. Some girl just happens to be in control of, like, the fucking Gundam. And for some fucking reason, we still... I don't know how... Like I said, I'm not as into Gundam as you are. I don't understand how so many
people
don't immediately see this fucking primary color scheme robot and go, oh, yeah, that's the OP one. I shouldn't fuck with that.
Right.
And this girl has control of that. She's at an academy. It's fucking... It's soldier school. And someone at the school...
With anime rules, which I hate.
And she rescued her, and she's like, you bitch, I was trying to escape. He's like, oh, I'm so sorry, I'll repay you. This girl who's trying to escape, she's basically like the fiance. She's like betrothed to some son of a big corporation.
Because she
wanna
fucking
duel. And the girl in the Gundam fights in her behalf, beats the shit out of the guy with the OP Gundam, and now they are traditionally betrothed. It's Yuri bait.
Honestly, I had like immediate problems with it. Like, I understand why.
And it's not
why
entertaining like Licorice Recoil is.
No. I mean, debatable. But I'm not coming for that.
This was two episodes. I just described it in like a minute,
yeah,
like 30
no,
seconds.
No, you did. No, basically,
a lot of fluttering around.
What The Witch from Mercury does already, which I'm not overly fond of, except in very like specific instances. One, in episode zero, basically establishes that from the age of a fucking toddler, like a 3-year-old or something, is capable of, like, controlling and destroying enemy units with ease because she is a new type, quite clearly. and I don't know how you feel about this, Ivan. I'm not that big on the robot waited for the right person to pilot it. I'm really not that fond of it, especially in Gundam. And I think I mentioned this to you, in Eureka 7, they have this, like, interesting thing where they've got this girl, they've got this boy, the girl is the pilot for the robot, but the boy has something that the robot needs to, like, make it, like, max out to its full potential. Later on in the series, there is a period where the robot does not like the girl who was always piloting this, and this is, like, a big part of her identity. And so, it goes, well, fuck you, little girl, I like this, like, young boy instead. And that's who I want to pilot me. But then it turns out, like, together, they can bring out the absolute best in it, but it's like a whole arc of the story and everything, so it, like, actually matters. I don't know what it's gonna fucking do with this. This red-headed... I'm not gonna call her a bitch, but this red-headed
She's fine.
Little,
she's just nothing. It's another Midoriya. It's another Midoriya.
She's just such a... I
hate
the way
she goes,
it takes
and doesn't give.
Eto. and everything. I'm just like, God, just fucking say what you want to say. I understand you're like socially awkward and shit, but God, and the moment that it takes for her to fucking like show a backbone in any sense is for the damsel, the bitch of a damsel who's just there, to fucking steal her giant goddamn robot. What the fuck? I'm also, I hate the fact that it's supposed to be like a military school, but it's like, oh, they can just like have duels when they're like students or bystanders just out.
And then they're
on
bougie
the fucking...
as fuck. They have like fucking carte blanche, dude. Like, it's so... like they have like infinite fucking resources. Oh yeah, our students could just fucking pilot robots and just beat the shit out of each other.
Yeah,
fucking
like,
fuck
this
war guy. So this the reason. That's the reason why I hate it.
Yeah.
Because my favorite Gundam is Iron-Blooded Orphans, which you implied the first time we tried recording this episode, was you think this is in the same universe, and if that's the case, that's fucking bullshit.
I honestly, I'm only saying that because they look the same.
Okay, like, that's bullshit. That's definitely not the case.
Oh, no. I mean, like, in style and everything.
Just design and art. That's above the table, dude. But no, but
yeah,
like...
Yeah, absolutely.
So the way you described how you like how Eureka 7, handles the pilot robots relationship.
Yeah.
So I love Iron-Blooded Orphans because the only like in that universe, Gundams are ancient. Like they are the products of a bygone war.
In Iron-Blooded Orphans, isn't piloting the Gundam killing the pilot?
But like it's in that one, they like say again. It's like I said in the other Gundams, it's like I don't understand how you guys don't understand why the robot with the primary color scheme is so fucking special. In Iron-Blooded Orphans, they understand. That shit's like, that's like if you, like, suddenly a kid rolled up to school today with a fucking, like a fucking panzer tank or some shit. Like, they know what it is. It's old, but it's still a fucking tank at your school.
Mm-hmm.
But what I love about it is the fact that the bonding system only works is because that technology back in the day that you could attach yourself to a Gundam, like those old special Gundam, is in the modern day for them. That's like fucking cheap ass slave trade technology. Like they forced that technology on child labor. Mm. And so those are the only people who can now pilot a Gundam now is fucking child slaves, which is a great comeuppance against the villains of that fucking first season. Like, it's a great setup. As you've described here, it's just like, it's all bougie and shit.
Well, that's
and I fucking
just
hate
the
it.
Thing. Well, here's the thing as well.
It turns into Japanex, fucking eugenics again.
Well, let me just say
that.
Something. In episode 0 of Witch of Mercury, which is slightly more interesting, they are literally going to this facility or something on this spacecraft, and it's like, they have the Gundams, we gotta destroy all the Gundams! For some reason, because it's like, what was it? I think the Gundams, like, steal your life force over time in Witch of Mercury as well? So
with the Iron-Blooded Orphans, it's just the fact that the technology is so old. It's just like it just sucks. it fucking kills you because it's like trying to connect your fucking trying to connect your fucking nervous system to a fucking like an AV cable like the red, yellow, white fucking CRTV fucking technology. That's basically the equivalent of trying to connect to a Gundam in that universe. It's like, you're trying to attach your brain to a fucking Smash Bros. Melee setup.
Yeah, that's the
fucking
thing.
Sucks.
There seems to be, like, a similar thing
like
to
that
in Witch of Mercury. Because, like, in episode 0, when, like, the bad guys attack or whatever, the corporation that runs the school and everything like that attack, the father is, like, pushing himself in the Gundam and everyone's like, no, dude, you gotta stop because it's gonna fucking kill you. And the bad guys are all like, oh, I believe that weapons should be made for killing people, so why are we using Gundams when they kill the user, and that's why we gotta destroy them? And it's like, what? I mean, okay, which is why I'm almost certain it might be in a similar universe or something. Like, it might be even before, further off? I don't know yet.
It's either before or after, but it's definitely not at the same time, because in IBO...
Oh, not at the same time.
In IBO, like, there's only, like, the Gundam are, like, hidden. Like, they're, like, fucking, like, stashed away.
Yeah.
And you only see one in that one.
And there's
also,
there's
another one at the very end.
But that's also what confuses me, because... So... The government or the companies, because that's the thing, it's not government or anything like
that. I never
right
try
it's,
to understand it, the Gundam timeline, just to be honest.
No, I don't blame you. I don't blame you. Like, I only do Universal Century, really. I want to dip into Wing and stuff like that eventually, but I wasn't that into it when I first
watched it. That's another reason why I knew you fucking hate this, because there was no, like, offensive fucking sombrero-shaped planet.
G-Gundam is the fucking best.
G-Gundam is sick!
Or what is it? America is just a giant star with the Statue of Liberty in it.
Yeah, fucking, yeah. Oh, good shit. What a time.
G-Gundam is fucking dope as shit. It's just, it's a good time.
I don't want to give Witch for Mercury too much fucking time, because it doesn't deserve it.
No, yeah. Anyway, I'll get on with this. And so apparently the companies, because it's not about governments or anything, they're not like directly at war. All the main companies seem to be under one branch and everything. It's like SpaceX owns this or something like that. And there seems to be a lot of like behind the scenes corporate sabotage.
Royal families this time, now it's companies. Yeah, now companies are the royalty. That was the only part that interested me.
It's like Donald Trump invites like Elon Musk to dinner or something. It's like, I'm going to shoot him in his fucking weird pigeon body.
Yeah.
But Elon Musk is like, I'm bringing the railgun with me so I can fucking evaporate that man's bones or something. And so they know about Gundams, and yet this girl is, like, flying around in her Gundam and uses her Gundam, like, publicly.
Yeah, and they just let her have this shit. What?
Yeah, and I'm confused, so I'm like, what is their fucking stance on Gundams? Because they, like, fucking went for destroying everyone, unless that shit is, like, done and dusted, and I don't understand something. I'm gonna keep on watching it out of interest and see where it goes.
Fucking glutton for punishment.
I know, but I like giant robots, and I'm hoping it actually does something. But I was really disappointed. But the thing is, like, it's basically, it is just Gundam, but anime school rules, where it's stuff like, the kids have a right to fucking fight each other when, for whatever reason, they fucking won. And I fucking hate it, because they're using these possibly $1 million, whatever, fucking giant machines to fight each other. And they can cause massive collateral damage with it. Like, I don't give a fuck if My Hero Academia has fucking Bakugo and, like, Midoriya fighting on the school grounds. Because guess what? Aizawa's gonna come in and be like, do I have to give you two a fucking spanking? But in this, it's all like,
My Hero Academia is practically a parody. Like, it's a sillier version. With this, like, they're trying to take themselves seriously. And I'm like, how can I take, like, I keep bringing up W. I'm like, it echoes back to W, how fucking, like, tongue-in-cheek it's supposed to be, but clearly it's not.
What
is
W?
Very seriously.
What are you saying? I'm not...
maybe Gundam Wing, maybe? That's what I'm talking about?
I mean, Wing at least has a fucking war going on and everything like that, and the conflicts are like, you know, there's actual conflict there. It's not just some fucking kids being like, oh, I'm going to take your hand in marriage
we'll see the fake war that justifies this military school's existence eventually.
Probably. I fucking hope so, because right now
I'm
not...
this is dumb. This is really dumb.
It feels really dumb.
I don't want to watch a bunch of rich kids fucking argue. I don't care if there's a Midoriya in there.
Episode 0 is better, but so far, episode 1, I just do not care about these fucking characters. This redheaded girl needs the most goddamn development out of all of them. And the one with white hair, the damsel, the one who's like, you are my fiancé now. They just need to fucking be something. They are nothing at this stage,
they're just a prize. They're MacGuffin.
Yeah.
They are a literal MacGuffin, a living, breathing MacGuffin.
Like... maybe if Lycoris Recoil was about giant robots, maybe I would have liked it more. I don't fucking
I think you would have. I think if nothing changed, but there was robots, I think you would be your favorite anime of all time. I'm honest.
I just love giant robots. But that's enough of that. We're not super into it, but I will keep you
posted.
It
was worth discussing, though. It absolutely was. Because I'm like, oh my god, Bao's gonna fucking hate me.
Yeah, no.
I
see a lot of people online very happy about the possible, like, Yuri stuff. And I'm waiting. It could be bait. It's fine if it is.
Oh, really?
Because
any discourse I heard about, everyone's pissed.
I only heard, like, a few people. Here's the thing. I only ever hear people talk about this stuff. I never actually see it or anything. But it's like, yeah, I can totally fucking imagine it. And I don't care because I don't care about... as you know, I don't prioritize that stuff. I'm just like, cool, it's there. Whatever. And... it could just be bait. Don't get your fucking hopes up.
It's absolutely. If this is the bulk of the development we're getting, that is full on.
My friend, for example,
bait.
My friend and I, Adam and I, watched an anime a while ago called Number 6, and we were like, this is so gay. These guys are gay. They're gonna go full on gay. And then literally, final episode, they like turn to each other. The sunset is like blazing in the distance. Everything's been solved. And they just fucking walk away from each other. It's like, yeah, just forget about that time that I like gave you a hand job in the fucking hot tub. We're never speaking of this again. Get out! Literally, we were sat there screaming, these fucking cowards, we were into it, and they walked away, what the fuck? Don't get your hopes up until the series is done, or they actually hard confirm it, people, you know, because you know what they say about assuming, it makes an ass out of you and me.
Anyway, so what else did I watch? Golden Kamuy. I think Golden Kamuy right now is the winner.
I did check out the episode. I checked out that episode. That was actually a really fun... I don't even know what's going on. I was just
because it's been, Duval, it's been 2 years. It's been two fucking years.
Has it been 2 years since they had the last season?
Has it missed a beat, though?
What? Dude, I was, like, completely enthralled when they were like, oh, my God, there's this fucking sniper up there. And they're all just laying still being like, oh, my God, did no one fucking move?
I am so happy. Golden Kamuy ended either earlier this year or late last year. I forgot.
It was early this year.
There's been a Golden Kamuy-shaped hole in my heart, in my soul.
It was this year. I'm certain it was
It was very early this year. And there's just been this hole in my heart. And now this anime is back, and it's filling. I'm like, oh, my God, yes. Good. Fucking the best fucking manga, the best modern manga of all time is back in anime form, and it is hitting on all cylinders. It's solid. It's good. We're having a good time. I hope it's 24 episodes.
I don't think so.
I think it's 13.
I really want to catch up with this season because two of my friends, we were like doing a regular watch.
It's going to be good, Val. It's going to be great.
I'm sure it is because I was really enjoying the first season when I
watched
it.
I think it's the top contender right now for the season.
Is the animation not the best or anything like that?
It's consistent. It's consistent.
You know, exactly. It is, but it's not the best. But I was appreciative of the little details, like they were using practical effects. They were like setting shit on fire and then like recording that and then putting the animation in front of it. And it made it look really fucking interesting to me and everything because I love seeing details like that. I think Golden Kamuy is a pretty sick anime.
Oh, yeah. Well, because, I mean, it is carried by the sickest fucking manga. And the production's solid, so as long as it keeps doing its job, it's gonna be fucking great.
I like the fact that it's a fucking food porn series in disguise.
Yeah, no.
Well.
So that's part of what I was gonna mention. I was laughing because I look at the categories during the list, the preview we're doing, and Golden Kamuy is listed as historical food anime.
Yeah, that's.
I love that. That's clearly a joke, but fuck yeah, I love it.
Honestly, I've been watching a lot of stuff lately.
Food Wars Wishes.
I'm gonna cheat on my friends because like they've been too busy to watch Golden Kamuy like together, and I have a rule with shit where it's like, look, if one person's not here, we ain't doing it, okay? Like we'll just have to watch it separately.
Oh,
you
gotta watch Golden Kamuy actively.
I'm going to. I've been getting into a lot of anime. Like I sent you a Ronya. I know that's an old one. It's not like a recent one, but I'm like watching that like every now and then. I'm watching 008E War in the Pocket, which is super short. I sent you that after we watched fucking... after you told me to watch The Witch from Mercury.
Which I'm like, I have Iron Blood Orphans. I don't need this shit.
Yeah, true. But if you're talking
about anime that isn't seasonal... So I was sick this week.
I'm sorry,
so,
I just want to say... Yeah. Calling 008E shit, I like put my hands over it and see, and I'm like, not in front of the fucking child!
Yeah,
carry on.
But I was sick, so I needed a comfort anime. And I stumbled upon Yuru Camp.
Yuru Camp.
Laid-back camp.
Oh, I saw that. On the background work in that, I checked out a single
It's really
episode.
Good. It's
the
really
background
good.
Work
I'm in season
is so
two
fucking
right now.
Nice. Damn, okay. Like,
I'm sorry, I feel bad for sleeping on this shit. It's really good.
I've only
That's
just
another one
heard
that
kind of
qualifies more as a food anime than a camping anime. It's more travel and food, but still, it's fucking great.
I love travel anime. So I might just check
Yeah,
that
exactly.
Out.
It reminds me a lot of Yokohama Tadashi.
Oh?
Got cute girl on the moped and everything.
they really need
a modern anime for that.
Honestly,
that's easy money. There is an audience for that.
I've been really tempted to go back to stuff like Genshiken and everything. I want something that's kind of chill and like down to earth, but not like overly dramatic or anything. Just something that's kind of like nice.
I know what you mean.
Yeah.
Otherwise, same back in the seasonal... Big surprise, Spike's Family Season 2 looks fucking great. Mm. Might even look better than Part 1.
Damn.
They took their time with it. It looks great.
I gotta say, like, it's just like a second core thing, isn't it?
Yeah, it's just
like...
a second core, but people are just treating it like it's a second season.
Yeah, no, I mean, I always hate how, like...
Who gives, after MAPPA, what MAPPA did with Attack on Titan, like, there are no rules now.
Nope, no, there are not. That's true.
But otherwise, like, so at the time of recording, it's a Friday, so we're always going to be behind on the My Hero Academia anime, but basically, like, what we have left ahead of us is basically Chainsaw
Man. Wait, is it out yet? Is it out yet?
What?
My Hero Academia?
The first episode's out.
I didn't even fucking... Is it a filler episode like it usually is?
So, yeah, so let's segue into that right now. So...
I didn't see it. Tell me about it.
They got the bullshit out of the way. You know how they do, like, an episode zero that's just, like, a terrible original story with
yep,
recap?
Yep, just what I said. The filler. I hate it. Go on.
So, no, they did. They got that out of the way with the OVAs this summer. So, today, so this week's episode, which by the time we're recording, we're always going to be a week behind, so cry about it.
Uh-huh.
It's the story. Like, they jump right into the war. They jump into the hospital raid. But there is... The first half of the episode is definitely recap. Go
God
fucking figure. But they definitely go right into fucking Murata, or whatever his name is, the doctor, getting raided, him escaping, and Mirko chasing after him. Mirko gets the Sakuga animation.
Okay.
It's not bad. It's still not a full... It's still... I still can't make a full fucking, like... assessment if this is gonna be badly animated or not, but so far the animators of course are favoring Mirko. I do have a little bit of a nitpick because in the manga, when the doctor makes his escape, it's supposed to be very funny, the fact that he's like, it's supposed to be a lot more kinetic where he's like, oh my god, jump on his chair, the chair fucking jets into a fucking tunnel, and he falls out of the fucking chair, and as soon as he does that, Mirko falls right behind him. It's a bit slower in this version, and that's where I get a little bit nitpicky. I'm like, oh, that was supposed to be a lot more funnier in the manga. But in terms of, like, are they cutting things? No, they're not cutting anything. So far, they're showing everything. And it looks okay. But next week, tomorrow, Saturday, we will see a full, uninterrupted, no-recap episode. And we will see how this goes.
Okay. So,
but things off. It wasn't complete filler. It was kind of like half recap, half get things going.
Like a little mid, then? Like
a little bit mid, but I can't, it'd be unfair to say bad, it's a recap. Next week is when we get the full judgment of what's going on here.
Alright, what else did you see? Because I only saw, like, I didn't even see that come out.
That's it, that was all I really recall to my memory, otherwise there's not really anything sparking. Like I said, Bleach, at the time of recording we now know, but basically, like, last week we discussed, we didn't know what was going on with Bleach.
That's right.
It seems like overnight, Crunchyroll lost the rights to Bleach. They just had to, like, remove everything. And everyone's like, what the fuck? Where's Bleach? Where's Bleach going? And fucking Viz puts their shoulders up. We don't know. And I'm like, wow. After all that fucking marketing, and now we don't know where it is? What the fuck? And then just a few days ago, quietly, it was announced that Hulu gets the American rights, Disney Plus gets the international rights. It's coming to Disney.
Disney
bought Bleach.
I mean...
Not a smart move, actually.
I don't know about that.
I'm not sure about that. No. Smart for Disney, kiss of death for Bleach. Nobody's watching that shit. Like, the whole point of this whole Thousand Blood thing was to... for Viz, anyways. Viz is fucking pissed. You can tell. Because they have stopped marketing it. This was supposed to be them introducing Bleach to a new generation and get a new audience. Who the fuck is gonna watch anime on Hulu? International folk? I mean, you get into Disney Plus, so I mean, if you got it or not.
That
was a goddamn... All of that marketing, and then it just overnight disappears because Disney doesn't know what the fuck to do with it.
How the fuck does this, like...
And Viz doesn't know what to do with Disney because they're clearly not collaborating together.
I am surprised this is even, like, possible, to be honest.
Oh, no, it's very much possible. The rights were up. Disney snatched them. They're the highest bidder.
God damn. Honestly, I genuinely feel like Bleach fans can't get a break.
No,
like,
they can't get a fucking break.
It's been 10 years. Frankly, speaking honestly, I feel like Bleach is kind of mid, to be honest, as a series. Like, I'm literally watching this to see if it can win
me
back.
It's a classic, though.
I am... Oh, yeah, it's a classic, but it's also, like, it became mid, like, at least two arcs before, like, it I mean, everyone kind of agrees that it should have ended with Aizen, essentially, as the main villain. Should have ended in, like, I don't know, when it ended, when that arc ended, like, 2012 or something like that. 2011, I was in high school. And the last two arcs, in my opinion, just absolutely rushed the shit out of the development. In fact, the very final arc, the biggest issue I had with it was the final arc. They decided, oh, we're just going to get all of the development out of all the captains and everything. They have like 12 of those fucking characters. You know how My Hero Academia is just skimming over characters? Bleach was like actually trying, at least, to like give every single character, like give everyone the answers to like why their characters are the way they are, and like give everyone their like defining moment in the series. Something that I feel like My Hero Academia as of late is kind of failing in doing. Speaking of which, should we transition into that right now?
We should, but I wanna, this podcast is a pre-Chainsaw Anime world. We're still a little bit pure, and there's something I gotta mention, all right? So Crunchyroll, if anyone from Crunchyroll is listening to this podcast, I was told by multiple people, I am not going to share too much info, but I do this as a kindness. I want the audience to temper their expectations for the Chainsaw Man anime. Sometimes anime is just made, I mean, not sometimes, all anime is made when there are manga adaptations to simply be commercials for the manga. It's to sell more manga at the end of the day. So I want everyone to, you still be excited for Chainsaw Man? But temper your expectations. Basically, I've been told, again, by multiple people, you can't blame this on one person. Lots of people have told me about this. But it's still not public info. I don't think it's ever going to be public info. And I hate to tease the audience by this, but I'm trying to do some lip service on Crunchyroll, like, even though they don't deserve it, after the Mob Psycho situation. Speaking of which, Mob Psycho Season 3 started off very great.
I was going to say, did they replace him?
They did.
Did I check the first dub episode?
So,
Crunchyroll
didn't even announce the premiere of the English dub. That's their first true simul dub since the pandemic. And there was no fanfare. They just pushed it out because they're fucking cowards and they didn't want the fucking controversy.
Damn.
And just like, wow. That being said, there is... So anyone who's pissed at Crunchyroll right now, I would say right now, there is some cosmic comeuppance happening behind the scenes in regards to Chainsaw Man.
Who did they replace Mob with, out of curiosity?
I am not saying their name.
Well, then you can just censor it out for them.
Well, no, I'm just like,
just tell me. We'll talk after the podcast
about this.
Fair enough.
I'm not making any additional work for our editor, but basically, remember I said I could basically guess who was still there and who wasn't? Yes, I basically guessed. It's very grandfathered. Again, there was no announcements. Everyone's been told to be silent and to just exist.
It's
the final season of Mob Psycho. No fanfare, no celebration because Crunchyroll is a bunch of fucking cowards. And right now, Chainsaw Man has got some fucking issues behind the scenes. That's quite hilarious.
Like, things that we can talk about with Chainsaw Man, though, is that I am more worried about how they're going to pace this series.
Exactly. Again, that's why I'm telling you to temper their expectations because they're going to move very fast.
I believe they will. They're already getting, like, people for... Or they've got the cast list for characters like the Angel Devil or Angel Fiend, Shark Devil, and everything like that. That could mean that maybe they're going to appear at the end.
I'm still not 100%. I've not been told about confirmation about how far they're going, but I am told now that they are going very far.
I'm very worried, in a very small
amount of time.
I don't know. Chainsaw Man is such a... It's just got so many iconic moments that I am worried about them missing out on now at this point. But,
It's the little moments. It's the little moments because I've been rereading it. It's the little moments.
It's like JoJo. It's a bit like JoJo where it's like... I feel like in the newer JoJo seasons, they cut out a lot of little moments that I think, like, defined a lot of things in it that made it, like, charming and stuff.
But it's not doomsday just yet for Chainsaw Man.
No.
It's going to look good. It's going to look good, everyone. But just be careful. Don't get your hopes too high up that everything you want is going to be in there.
Yeah. Let's get into My Hero Academia, though, shall we?
Let's get to My Hero Academia.
Hurry this along a bit. So, chapter 369. During the second's time, many years ago, we basically got the confrontation between the second user of One for All and All for One. All for One is actually crying And I can only assume that is because of the exchange of Quirk to this guy from
younger brother. Well, yeah, as I say, this is his first battle away from his brother.
Mm-hmm. Yes, precisely. So, I've always been really interested, at least, in All For One's relationship with his brother.
It's the last fascinating piece that's left.
Yeah, exactly. Like, what does this man feel about it? It's like, in the abridged version, for example, that you did with Nana, it's quite complicated because, obviously, All For One, it very much cared about Nana and everything. So I always think about, like, that aspect of it. And he's like, well, I want to take this power away from you because it just doesn't fucking belong to you and I don't fucking like you. And it's probably a similar thing in this, for all we know. He might just want it back for fucking malicious reasons. Who knows? I hope that's not the case. I really do hope it is something like, oh, well, the Quirk singularity of One For All is my younger brother and I want my younger brother with me.
Yeah. He might miss him. Yeah. I said, there's something fascinating here.
There definitely is. The second user of One For All tries to take a pot shot at him with a bullet, and All For One basically just scoffs, your power's fucking pathetic, get the fuck out of here, you stupid loser.
Yeah, and now
we
see that has built over time. And number two, he smirks, because he knows. Mm-hmm. He's like, you know, I die today, but I'll be back tomorrow, bitch. Like,
yeah,
time.
It's an Obi-Wan moment, isn't it, with Darth Vader?
Exactly, I'll be back stronger than you. You'll strike me down now, I'll be like, yep, it's more Star Wars, because that's Horikoshi.
Of course. So then we cut back to Midoriya, and we finally get the beatdown that we've actually been wanting, in my opinion. Is it wordy? Of course it is, because we've got to take the time to actually explain what the hell this power is, because I certainly didn't understand it until, like, you know, those pages revealed themselves. Actually, wait, I'm stupid. That's right. The version I read when I initially read it, because I was on, like, time, like, so I just skimmed it, and I was like, oh, okay, but, yeah, it's very wordy, we get a lot of that, of course, but the art is just fucking amazing, like, Deku streaking across the fucking panels and everything looks amazing,
the
impacts.
He absolutely fucking folds Shigaraki, dude, it's great.
I know,
we love to see it.
It is actually so fucking satisfying. I love the, like, quintuplet smash, and it's just smashed, like, copy and pasted on top of each other. It looks absolutely badass. This might be, in my opinion, this is one of the best-looking action chapters that Horikoshi has actually done.
Yes.
This is fucking phenomenal, in my opinion. And the determination
on
Midoriya...
I like how he uses the length of the paneling to really get that sense of fucking speed. Like, it... Again, I mean, big surprise, the art continues to be fucking slamming here.
I'm loving this, like, he's doing borders. Like, he's got this lightning strike border cutting in between, like, panels and everything.
I don't know if he mentioned it last week, but my favorite last week was where he used the sound effects as borders for the panels.
Yeah, no, you did mention that. That was really good.
I fucking love that. I want more of that shit.
No, like, it's weird, like, we've been talking about My Hero kind of rushing along and not doing so good story-wise, but it just feels like he's just putting everything into its presentation, and it's still really fucking satisfying to read. It's just a shame that the story is not hitting,
that's the sacrifice we got in regards to...
You know, it's not satisfying to read, it's satisfying to look at.
Yes.
Really. Yeah. And then we get this really badass shot after, like, even more beatdown and everything. All For One / Shigaraki is being very overconfident. He's like, oh, well, it doesn't matter if I can't fucking see you. I'll just predict where you're coming from by the angle and trajectory, blah, 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 blah. Also, I'm actually really happy because in the very back, you can actually see All Might, which I was a bit like, why the fuck wasn't All Might there? Because
he's not actually dead and he has no Quirk to offer. So, like, his shade is always going to be very minimal.
Yeah, true. But it's like, I remember a couple chapters ago, I was complaining that, like, he just wasn't there, or at least I couldn't fucking see him. Maybe I'm dumb. I don't know. And we get one final devastating punch to Shigaraki, and it seems to literally put a fucking hole in him.
Yeah.
It looks great, but obviously, he's still plotting something. Fuck.
Why?
Well,
he has to, because he even mentioned, he's like, bro, I haven't even got to use my Quirk yet. This ain't fucking over. This is horseshit. No one wants to see this shit. People want to see me go all out. And I'm like, yeah, we gotta do.
Yeah. True.
And we know it's coming. So that's what's coming.
And then we cut to what is possibly his ace in the hole. Who is it? It's a feral fucking literally going like ape shit spinner.
Gorilla I forgot about him. Spinner. Yeah, we all did.
He's right? He's like ultimate Spider-Man Green Goblin now.
Is this actually going to cut away though? We had a lot of shots like these where we don't actually go anywhere.
That's very true. Like, it's up in the air. Like, I keep expecting him to cut away much.
The most interesting thing is Horikoshi's author's comments this week. Where he goes,
oh, go on.
1 year ago, to say 10 months ago to this day, I said that I would end My Hero Academia in a year. I'm starting to reconsider that now. No shit, dude.
What?
There has never been a mangaka who's ever been accurate about their fucking deadline, their timeline. This shit's not done till spring. We're going to spring
Oda's
next
like,
year.
We're in the last run of One Piece.
If he was actually accurate, Val, that would mean that we would be done in 11 chapters.
Oh.
This shit is not ending in 11 chapters, unless it was getting axed. There's no way.
True.
It's not getting axed. It's getting rushed out, but it's not getting axed.
He could end it in 11. I believe he could end it in 11 chapters.
No
right
fucking
here.
Way!
Good.
We still gotta do Ochako, so that's one chapter. We still gotta do fucking Fat Gum
that's
and
right,
fucking and Ayama, that's one chapter. We still
We've
gotta do Spinner
about
one
this.
Chapter. Baku's gotta come back in another chapter. So that leaves us with fucking seven chapters left. Oh man. Fuck off.
Easy. Ochako and fucking Froppy with their united power just crushed the shit out of Toga. Spinner is irrelevant. Bakugo just wakes up in the hospital and said, truly, this was a My Hero Academia. And there's a series fucking
truly,
ends.
We are the Academia. That My Heroes are the Academia. But yeah, solid chapter.
It really was. No, this was super fucking fun to look at and everything. Like, he's just fucking getting better, it seems, in this. Honestly, genuinely, I'm not looking forward to it, but I'm really just looking forward to whatever the fuck this man does next.
My Hero
Shippuden. And hoping he doesn't burn out on it, or he doesn't end up like, say, and all the respect to the man, but the Naruto author, who, like,
that's
their
exactly what's going to happen, is he's going to do, they're going to make a My Hero spinoff, he's going to take a break, come back and do something else, it's going to bomb, and then he's going to be forced to come back to My Hero Academia. And take over.
I fucking hope not, because
I hope not either, but I'm just sorry, but when you got guys like Fujimoto in the wings who are clowning on everyone in terms of story, it's becoming an inevitable path. Like, Fujimoto is immune to this curse, but every other mangaka, I just don't see how they get away from their original works.
No fucking clue. Let's talk about One Piece, though. Chapter 1062, Adventure in the Land of Science. For the cover page, we've got Germa 66's Cold-Blooded Voyage, Volume 20. Meanwhile, in Chocolate Town on Coco Island, which, I think Akainu is going to show up at fucking, Big Mom's, home, honestly. I think that's why the entire Chocolate Town is melting. That's just my assumption. I'm like, who could generate that much heat that they're melting all of Coco Town?
Right.
Sabo, maybe, but like, why the fuck would they show
but
Sabo here already?
Sabo's not there. He was on that island that got blown up.
He's faked out dead again. So everyone on the crew who's like come across them, Vegapunk? The Vegapunk? What a fracas. Frankie is absolutely delighted. He's like, holy fucking shit, and like almost implies, I killed millions of people in your hometown of Baltimore. That's right, it was me, or something like that. And I thought that was what was gonna like...
Patrick Seitz, it could happen.
I thought that was what's gonna like bring on the conflict. Sanji is just like stunned as usual because like she's a hot chick. Usopp's like, oh wow, like that's fucking cool.
Everyone else is into the robot, but then you got Robin and Zoro, who are like,
yeah.
And again, so we got our confirmation that Vegapunk is comprised of 6 clones.
That's right.
Which is pretty sick. They seem to be a reference to Cyborg 9, like homage.
Are they?
They give me that vibe.
Okay. I thought. Also, Dr. Vegapunk
We've
is wearing a.
We've only seen two of them.
Dr. Vegapunk number one, or Dr. Vegapunk Shaka, as they call it, or Logic, is wearing a Daft Punk helmet.
Hell yeah.
That is literally something.
Daft Punk confirmed.
Obviously, like that is something that when I first heard the name Vegapunk, I was like, is that gonna be like something to do with Daft Punk or
oh
something like
Oh my god, you're right. That's fucking hilarious.
Like, okay, but so it's quite interesting. These So this one that we've met is...
Yeah, but Robin Zoro ain't taking any fucking shit. Like, she's got them surrounded with fucking... We talked about how... wow, how are fucking Sea Kings gonna be fucking scary at this point? And they're like, oh no, they can't get scarier. Yeah, make them into fucking cyborgs.
And they look fucking cool, actually.
Yeah, but Zoro and Robin don't give a fuck, and fucking Logic fucking Vegapunk's going, hey, back the fuck down. That's an Emperor's crew.
And she's just like, no, I can fucking take them. It's like, okay, look at those two. Look at those two.
Look at those two. They ain't scared. They ain't scared.
Yeah, they will fold you. Run. Get out of there. And it kind of brings up something important that, like, the weaklings in the crew throw off, like, how much people actually, like, kind of weigh out.
Yeah, they're like, oh, wow, they distracted me with their act. And I'm like, nah, dude, they're just idiots. And I love this.
No, it's confirmation that this is the reason why so many people try their fucking luck with this crew.
Yeah, because you got the bunch of imbeciles, and then you got the hard asses in the back of the crew who are like, we'll kill you fuckers while you're distracted.
Exactly, it's so fucking good.
Also, Bonnie confirms that she's the daughter of
Kuma. Yeah,
Kuma. We saw that coming. Then we do Snake Eater. We go up the fucking tunnel ladder, and then we are in Sci-fi land. I like this. This is a nice change.
We're in the fucking holodeck. Yes, I like it too. With like the rockets, the space monsters, and everything.
They're in the fucking Back to the Future fucking.
But as
land.
It turns out, it's actually basically the holodeck from fucking Star Trek. They like go to fucking. Luffy wants to like play with the giant fucking space dragon. He goes through it. They want to eat the big creamy ice cream candy dessert and everything. Bonnie and on. I'm actually really looking forward to Bonnie interacting with this crew more because she's serious. But then it's like food's on the line. She's like, oh fuck. She's like just as much of a dumbass as all these guys, even though she wants to think she's better.
But yeah. So then we get the next Vegapunk.
Luffy,
we get
everyone tries
six.
To. Oh. Oh, go on. Oh, yeah, we meet number six, yes.
And and they're talking about the nature of reality and shit, which is really fucking existential and weird for One Piece, but I'm all for it.
They got
and
weird
then,
goat ears.
Oh, then we see P28? I don't know. I'm not sure who's who. Like, we'll settle down. After we get a few more chapters, we'll know who's who. But, like...
Yeah.
But, yeah, we're seeing a lot of Vegapunk's fucking clones. But the most interesting thing is Cypherpole... motherfuckers from fucking Water 7 are back, and they're here to kill Dr. Vegapunk apparently has served his purpose, and so they are there to kill him. So I sense an uneasy alliance with the Straw Hats on the way.
Yeah. Something like that. I mean, I'm
Lucci
really interested.
Lucci and the boys are back. I like these fuckers.
I feel like Kizaru might show up because I don't see any other reason for having this character who can interact with light.
That's gonna be interesting. So that's an interesting thing. So Vegapunk Sinx can punch light. I feel like we have a weakness for Kizaru now.
Yeah, and it's gloves, apparently. So it's like, could Luffy just wear these fucking gloves or something like that?
I think it might
or
be
anyone?
More than that. Like, it's definitely the gloves, but I think there is some kind of hockey involved.
That's potentially.
Again, it's this stuff about the nature of reality, like the fact that it's about perception. This very long description is very important. It very much is. The fact that it seems to be a mix of technology and hockey, I think.
Also,
gonna be
this
what
is Vegapunk number
Kizaru
six,
with.
Atlas. It's Atlas. So this is Wrath in the Vegapunk clone.
Too many names.
Yeah, no, there are. But Vegapunk has six clones from Dr. Vegapunk to number one, Logic, Shaka. Number two, which is Lilith, the one who is dealing with the rest of the crew right now.
Who wants to fucking
Evil.
Plunder the Straw Hats for their fucking treasure.
Then we have Flair, known as Edison, Wisdom as Pythagoras, Atlas number five.
Yeah, so
and
that's a
mix-up.
So that's the fan translation says that even though her dress says six, this panel numbers her as five. So we don't know. We won't get a full confirmation until the official translation is out.
True. Yeah.
But
no,
we've
yeah,
only
point,
technically only seen two clones. Sorry, with three. We've seen one, two, and five or six. There's a mix-up right now.
And basically, Bonnie, Chopper, Jinbei's just being stoic as fuck and asking all the right questions because he's not a dumbass. And then, yeah, we get introduced to Cypher Polygain. Lucci's back. Kaku is back, which I'm more excited about because do not underestimate the power of giraffes, right, Ivan?
Giraffes are the coolest animal.
The coolest fucking animal. And they are bringing with them, it seems, a pacifist, like you said, a pacifista, or it's, I think it's definitely one of the new models because it's got the black wings.
Seraphim. Seraphim. That is absolutely the Seraph version of Kuma. Because if you look at the fan art, they're doing it with the darker skin and the black wings.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It looks fucking cool, though.
And his star, even his star has wings on it now.
I'm really, really looking forward to this fucking next chapter.
We said this last week, but like, whoa, One Piece is fucking great right now. This feels very Adventure Piece right now. I like this. We're discovering a new land, and Cypher Pool's on the way. A lot of people are going to collide on this island. It's going to be very fun.
Yeah, honestly, I don't think it's
the new Punk Hazard.
Like I said, I don't think we're quite done with the. Actually, the only other thing I could think of the light punching thing is that because of the way that obviously the pacifistas work, they like shoot light based on Kizaru's light.
Yeah.
Maybe that'll be it. But honestly, I would not be surprised if we get another power colliding into this island. Whether it's an admiral or something like that, I don't know.
Yeah, but so far it seems like cool, we got the Straw Hats, we've got Cypher Pole, and now we have some Marines.
Yeah.
Are we gonna see some revolutionaries?
Good point. That would
Is Sabo gonna wash up on shore?
You know what? I hate to say it, but there's potential for that because I know the movies and everything kind of like at least Gold kind of established some kind of weird rivalry between Lucci and Sabo. At least that's the way that I, like, read into it. They might not do anything like that.
They did in Stampede as well, yeah.
Yeah, I kind of want this to be round two with Lucci. Then again, what the fuck is Lucci going to do against Luffy at this stage?
I know, really? Right? But who knows? Like, maybe they've all been training, but they got a Seraphim, though, so...
There is, like, a point as well in this chapter where it looks as though Luffy is literally activating Gear 5. Like, just off just
it
from being pissed
off. It seems more like 4, because it's darker, but... But yeah,
true,
he's
true.
Getting pissed.
He's got like the cloud thing around. Also, Ivan, something I realized. Yes, it does. You're right, Snake Man and everything. Yeah. I realized that with Luffy getting these Looney Tune powers at this point, at some point, I'm just gonna say this. At some point, we are going to have Luffy Bugs Bunny a motherfucker. He's gonna pull his hair into like long shit or something and be like, he's gonna pull a Foxy on another guy and pretend to be like a sexy lady or something.
I don't think so. I think that's a purely Naruto thing, but who knows?
I wouldn't, but that's the thing. Like Fujimoto.
I don't think Luffy's going full Bugs Bunny.
I don't know, man.
I think that was an overinterpretation of what we saw during that fight.
Possibly, but honestly, like...
But things are fair game.
They were friends. It would not surprise me if it happens at some point. And yes, it would be very Naruto of it to do, but, you know, when Naruto ended, like, the dude paid homage to
I think that's a little too, smart for Luffy. It's silly, but it's also smart, and I don't think Luffy does anything smart.
True.
Besides, not since Alabasta with the blood...
True. That was the fucking coolest shit when I was like a kid. God damn. But genuinely super fucking good chapter. I am really excited for this. I'm also excited for One Piece Film Red coming out in cinemas next month. I'm going to
see that. Oh yeah, November.
They
finally confirmed it for early November. I'm excited. I can't wait to see
it. I'm really looking forward to it. And I also hear that they announced the dub actor for Uta. It's is it Amelie or something?
That would make perfect sense.
Yeah. The YouTube singer. Yeah. Yeah, Amelie.
The copyright holder for World of Light that has to remind you every time you upload a Smash Bros. Video.
But I think
sure
that's
Nintendo
everything
appreciates
today.
Appreciates that.
I think that's everything today, though.
I think that is everything we have to discuss today. Sorry for the short episode, everyone, but I'm still recovering. I got sick. But Yuru Camp is healing me, so... We should be back and ready full force next week. But, yeah. So, when we come back, we will be in a post-Chainsaw anime world, and we're going to see how fast that shit's going. And, yeah, gonna be interesting. So, until then, everyone, take care.
Get in your wheelchair, Ivan. I'll wheel you home off this train.
There is no wheelchair access to this train. You just have to push me off.
Okay, bye!
Whee!
Mind the gap as you exit our podcast safely. Rebuild of Joycast is hosted by Ivan Leroy and Valentine Stokes. Leroy's written and directed works can be found on the Joyride Entertainment YouTube channel and the soon-to-be-released original web manga, Paramedic. Val's dulcet tones can be heard in many of your favorite anime and web series, such as Ruby, Death Battle, Tribe 9, Lackadaisy Cats, and more. This episode was edited by Stina Carey, with YouTube version edited by Cody Rock. Music provided by Lo-Fi Geek. Intro and outro narration by Stina Carey. Outro music composed by Michael Payovich. Logo and visuals designed by Ivan Leroy. Rebuild of Joycast is produced by Joyride Entertainment and Rock Voice Productions, LLC, and made possible thanks to Patreon donations from generous listeners like you. This month's highest-tiered Patreon producers are Mr. Host, Austin, Gooner Bear, Jelly Donut, and Mary Bowtie. If you would like your name shouted out at the end of each podcast, an invite to our private Discord to interact with fans, cast and crew, or early access to all of our content, be sure to check out Joyride Entertainment's Patreon. Links provided in the description. Thank you for keeping Joyride's engine burning.